Welcome back to Good Oil for Penrod today. Penrod Oil is Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penrodoil.com. Paul Ruse, Premiership coach, good friend of Ross Lyon's, going to join us out of 8:30. But right now, Daisy Pearce is with us. Daisy, welcome.
Hi, guys.
We've been stressing about, we need an update. Apparently, game not all that interesting on Friday night. Your mind and your commentator's mind went elsewhere?
Yes, Bruce wanted to talk seagulls at the time, and clearly I hadn't done enough research because I wasn't ready or prepared to talk seagulls. But I've since done a bit of work, and I've got some information to share with all of us. Formerly known as Muse, a seagull.
A muse?
That was another name for the bird, Muse, rather than gulls.
I see.
They have unhinging jaws, which allow them to eat bigger prey.
Yep.
And also, certain species have demonstrated the use of tools in their behaviour.
What do you mean tools?
So, well, for example, there's one species that will use bread as bait to catch fish.
Ah, right. I thought you might have been talking about some tools, like some power tools and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm sure they could if you gave them the opportunity, but that might explain...
Yes.
That why... Bruce and BT were saying that they've penetrated the seagull repelling shields at the MCG and that they've had to use about 10 different strategies.
Well, they've broken it down with lasers
out.
Or something.
It was, and then that's when Brian ended up doing his hawk calls, did it?
Yes.
No wonder that the game was, it was an ordinary game when you go down that path, I must say.
I had nothing on seagulls, so I've spent the last. Almost week studying up on them.
So if it happens again, you're going to be well versed.
I am ready. You don't want to leave Bruce McAvaney hanging.
No.
I did on Friday night and I need to be better than that.
A beautiful way to segue to this.
Morning, Miss Daisy.
On SEN, what's driving Miss Daisy?
Morning, Miss Daisy. I like it. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Righto, what'd you pick up from the weekend?
Well, I'm going to read out a few statements. Maybe little daisy cutters, we can call them.
Oh, I like that too.
If you want to delve in deeper or press stop or you're not sure what I'm on about, you just say stop and we can talk about it. So it's a bit like viewer's choice.
Right, okay.
Number one is that Chris Scott would want his time back. Number two, how good is a random act of kindness, especially one involving a club skipper?
Right.
Right.
Number three,
Go on.
Oh, was that a pause? I think I heard Gary's buzzer.
Okay, no, I want to go back to the first one. Yeah, if Chris Scott could have his time back again.
Hang on, I'll get through the list.
Okay,
back. And then you can pick which one you want to start on first. Brisbane played the perfect game. And the last one, there's a Dylan Grimes denial problem.
Right. Let's get back into these in greater depth, if you wouldn't mind. Chris Scott. Coach under pressure, was led all day, dying moments, had a goal kicked against him, has gone to the press conference and was asked a question about Charlie Cameron and wasn't all that forthcoming in his praise.
I saw him on 360 on Monday, Monday night, and he said, oh, I haven't had a chance to watch back. You wouldn't have needed a chance to watch back on that or a chat with your media manager to know that, oh, I got that one wrong. I reckon the minute he walked out of there, it would have been one of those moments.
Do you think anger... Yeah. Just took over.
Anger, competitiveness,
frustration.
Heat of the battle.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd need to watch it back. It'd be one of those moments where you walk away and just know in yourself, yeah, I probably got that one wrong.
Do you think that I didn't sort of think at the time that it was disrespectful. I just thought that it was just a misdiagnosis of what had taken place.
Yeah, not disrespectful, but he'd know in himself that he underrated him.
You know what though? And this is what I like about that sort of that period of time after the game when coaches really expose themselves, because I think you see the inner workings of the coach when they can't. That's when you get the real guts of what these people are all about.
Yeah, and that's the competitor in Chris Scott. And, I mean, I've had moments like that too. Where,
what do you mean?
I'll give you a good example. And I don't know if you guys have got one too where you've made a judgment on someone because you're probably a bit competitive and... maybe a bit of ego getting in the way. And then as time goes by afterwards, you might think, oh, yeah, I got that wrong. They're actually probably pretty good. I'll give you
give us an example.
My best example. Aaron Phillips in her first game of AFLW. Now, as a rusted-on women's footballer who can't do anything other sports, I'm sitting there watching Erin Phillips's first game, having heard all the hype about her, this Australian basketball coming to play footy. I'm thinking, you can't just roll in and play footy, having not played since you were under 14. Sat down and watched her first game. She kicked three, two of them free kicks in the goal square, and I thought, nah. That looks like a good game on paper, but she won't get a kick next week.
No good.
She will not get a kick. That's what I said. Said it to my boyfriend, sitting there thinking, you know, this girl was just all talk. Well, the next week moved from the goal square up into the middle, had about 25 and kicked three, which is big in a game of women's footy. She's won every award since, and she's by far and away the best player in the competition.
Have you revisited it?
I revisited it pretty quickly, Gaz.
I got one of those. There's a lot when I went coaching I got wrong, but I was really keen on Stevie Milne, right? So we got him. He was at Essendon, and then we rookied him at St Kilda, right? And I saw him in the final. I thought, you know, he could be a forward. And then I got to the point where I thought, he doesn't do enough. You know, like I think he's clever and all those sorts of things. And at that time I look back and you think, we should have played him. You know, we should have played him a lot more than what we did. At the time, Andy Collins was one of the assistants at St Kilda. He loved it. Like, he actually really, really believed in Stevie Milne being an AFL player. But I wasn't sure about it. You often think back to the decisions that you make around a particular player, what you see but what you don't see. And then you start to convince yourself about the things that they can't do as opposed to the things that they do so well.
Okay,
and look at the career that he put together.
Stubbornness from a coach a senior coach who makes that call and then goes, geez.
No, that was just a miss.
Right, but is there a stubbornness sometimes where a coach makes a call and says he can't play midfield or he can't play back?
I think that happens a lot. I think that happens a lot with a coach thinking at the point, okay, no, that bloke, I've tried him a couple of times. He can't do that. You lose faith in them. They then recognise or they feel that the faith is no longer in them, and so they produce what you're expecting them to produce. Somebody casts a new set of eyes over them and their career can take off.
I think this has a name, and a psychologist listening out there might be able to tell us.
Really?
But I think it's called the halo effect.
Halo effect.
Where you you get an impression of someone, and then that impression then affects all you, like, you get stuck on that opinion.
Yes.
So you then can't see the.
So maybe.
So if you maybe saw one lazy effort, you start thinking, oh, no, Steve Milne's too lazy. And then you overlook all the good stuff he's doing because you've got it in your mind that.
Maybe Carlton are benefiting from a mass halo.
Maybe.
Mass halo.
But it works
effect.
Back the other way too, where someone will take a ripping mark or do one good thing that makes you think, oh, no, they're good. And then it means you miss all the.
The random act of kindness. What were you talking about this morning?
This is a great story. And often we talk about all the, you know, negative stories that we see from our high-profile footballers. I was at Richmond Footy Club on Sunday, so it was game day for the Tigers. I was there to catch up with Peggy O'Neill for This Is Grit, the show that I do tonight, and was waiting for Peggy in the driveway at Punt Road because the offices were shut. It's a Sunday. They don't operate. I'm sort of starting to think, what am I going to do if I can't get in this office and I'm meant to be meeting Peggy here, racking my brain, what's my next step? And then through the little tint of Punt Road's offices, I saw, oh, there's Trent Cotchin. Gave me a wave, came and opened the door. That was nice enough in itself, but that's not the act of kindness. I'm standing in there chatting to Trent. He gives Peggy a ring for me to see where she's at. So I've got the skipper chasing up the president for me, from little old me just trying to do an interview. Anyway, as I'm standing there chatting to Trent, another person appears at the tint, looking through awkwardly like I would have been, and it's a Richmond member. Trent opens the door for him and says, oh, g'day, mate, what are you after? Oh, sorry, don't worry, there's no one on reception. I've forgotten my membership ticket, can't get in. The skipper of the Richmond Footy Club, injured at the time, who's been in doing a rehab session before he heads over to all his commitments at the game, says, I'll be back in 3 minutes, goes and logs into the computer, prints him off a couple of tickets.
No.
Gets him into the ground.
No wonder he's not playing. He's too busy looking after everyone else.
He's got too many.
I don't think most. How many of the club captains do you think would know how to log into the reception computer?
I can't answer that question, but I think he'd be in rare company.
That That's an insight into the person that is Trent Cotchin. The member could not believe what was going on. Mm. When he came out with the two tickets, he was, oh, no, I only need one. And Trent said, oh, just give it to someone else. Make someone's day. He then proceeded to offer me a tea or coffee.
Right.
Genuine.
Did he bake a cake?
No, I wasn't there for the cake if he did.
Did Peggy turn up?
Peggy did turn up.
And how did that go?
Yeah, she's an amazing woman, Peggy. Great footy fan. She actually, as we were walking to the game in beaming sunlight, she said, I really hope it rains because we play well in the rain.
And
lo
and behold.
Foresight.
Daisy, it is called confirmation bias. That has come through from
halo effect. I must have made up
from six different people.
No, that's another term, halo. I can't. There is a halo effect term, but I think that they are different things.
Confirmation bias, indeed. I just got to get to Simon Marshall. After that, I want to hear about Dylan Grimes' denial and whether or not the Lions did play the perfect game. You'll share that with us, but Simon first.
On 1116 SEN, a Sportsbet update.
The new iPhone app from Sportsbet is so easy, even people who think indicators are optional could use it. It's foolproof. Gamble responsibly.
Morning to you, Si.
Morning, Gaz. Good morning, Tim. And lovely to be listening to Daisy.
What have we got for us on the Sandown race front?
Hey, boys, a little bit of mail today at Sandown. Now, you know spring's just around the corner. And some good horses are resuming. Race 7, number 10, too good, too hard. Should be very hard to beat. This horse is having its third up run. Luke Nolan to ride for Philip Stokes. Drawn gate 2, gets the right distance, gets the right run. $2.30 there. So we've got race 7, number 10 for you. And we can have a little multi, little sports bet multi into race 8, my best bet for the day, number 8, Tafani. This is a very good horse resuming from the Mike Maroney stable with Damien Oliver in the saddle. Drawn a little awkward, but it's only a short distance. They come out of the chute here at Sandown today. And this horse with Damien Oliver on top just was placed at Group 2 level. That's really good form for a midweek Sandown race meeting today. So race 7, number 10, into race 8, number 8 at Sandown. And if you're looking elsewhere, Canterbury, race 6, number 5, there's a horse called Rock. He's a 4-year-old gelding resuming, Tommy Berry to ride for Team Hawks, race 6, number 5 at Canterbury. He's first up. He'll be saluting the judge, one would think. And just an update on the cricket, Steve Smith out due to the concussion test. $1.66 now, England in from $1.85 yesterday. Come on, man. Australia at $3.15. That's good value. Boys, have a great Wednesday. It's always a pleasure.
And girls, well done to you. The new iPhone app from Sportsbet is so easy. Even people who think indicators are optional could use it. Foolproof, gamble responsibly, sportsbet.com.au. Welcome back to the program. Daisy Pearce is here. She's here for Select AFL Footy Stars Collectors Cards. You can hear her show tonight. This is Grit. And special guest?
Peggy O'Neill tonight.
At what time?
7 till 8 p.m.
I've been listening on my way home the last, it's good, really good stuff. Really good stuff. Great insights.
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
I'm in bed. I don't listen.
On the weekend, I met Peggy and we walked to the ground and did it as we walked to her game at the Tigers, and it finishes with us sitting in Peggy's seats at the Richmond West Coast game.
Okay. Was there anything that she said that surprised you?
Is there anything she
said? Or did you get a sense of why she's been such a great leader there in that short period of time from Punt Road to the MCG?
She's very humble, Peggy. Like, so I asked a lot of questions to try and work out what made her a great leader. Mm. For example, not many players publicly acknowledge their president. Like, maybe I'm just not on the pulse enough, but I wouldn't have been able to name any more than maybe 5 club presidents.
Right.
Peggy's one of them because her players will often acknowledge her. It's often, oh, the great leaders, Dimmer, Koch, and Peggy. Mm. Like, she's part, and often Brendan will get
mentioned. Is she the only female president?
Well. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I guess that
the
puts
first
her front
and
of
the
mind
only
as
still.
Well.
Yeah.
And a premiership president.
Yeah, but for her players, like Shane Edwards, when he played in his milestone game recently, he kind of thanked and acknowledged.
Mm.
Not many people do that unless they're at a function where they feel like they have to.
Yeah, no, it's true. She's done a great job. Trailblazer, no question. Now, you said Lions have played the perfect game?
Just quickly. Yes. One thing that did surprise me in her story, because she's from West Virginia, a mining town in West Virginia.
Yep.
I kind of assumed that she'd come left of field from a business background and like into footy and then learnt footy because of her business acumen. She's a lawyer. She's a really top-class lawyer in Australia. But she's a mad Richmond fan. and was from the minute she got here. She moved to Richmond in 93 and started barracking for the Tigers because she lived there.
Is that when she came to Australia?
Yeah.
In 93?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So by the time she's on the board, I think it was in 2005, she joined the board. She'd been supporting the club for 20 years, whereas I sort of had assumed, and I think she came across those assumptions when she first became president, that given her accent and being female and her legal background, that they thought, here's someone that's got to learn footy and come across. But she was as big a diehard fan as anyone.
It's a great result. Well, listen to that tonight at 7 o'clock. Now the Lions, what do you make of them?
Well, I think they played the perfect game.
In what way?
Well, it's not to say that they didn't make mistakes and that it was the perfect kind of four-quarter game, but I think they were exposed. They couldn't ask for a better preparation for finals in terms of what they were exposed to, because early in that game they looked nervy. There were players hanging onto the ball too long. They got to learn what the pace of a finals like game was. It looked like they were feeling that rush that you get in a high stakes game, and they had to control and get on top of it. Charlie Cameron, he had a shot on goal in the first quarter, and Eric Hipwood not long after, where they didn't even look like they were going through their normal routine. They were a bit sketchy in the way they approached it. It looked nervy. So they've had to work through that, learn what that feels like, find out what they're going to do about it when that hits come a final. Tick, they got to do that. Then late in the game, I thought they got to play both scenarios. They had to do win the game scenario and go fast and try and pluck it.
Score, yeah.
And then they had to play save the game in the last 2 minutes as well. So within that game, it was the perfect preparation, I think. The perfect game for them to play in the lead up to finals.
And Peter says if Ablett's delivered out of bounds hadn't been paid, the Lions would not have scored the winning goal. Have the guts to say that if you dare. Well, I just did, Pete. But that's just the way the game pans
gutsy,
out.
Gutsy, yes.
it was a stress test, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And they
passed.
And that's what every club that's going to participate, they want that in the lead up to the finals. That type of stress test. Put the pressure on every part of your game. See which part of it stands up, which part of it doesn't stand up. So you've still got a little bit of time to make those adjustments before the last month.
I heard Terry Wallace yesterday say, and he's a great fan of theirs as well, but he thinks they'll get smashed by Richmond on the weekend. Do either of you agree or disagree with that?
I think there was such an emotional outpouring post that game. I reckon the great challenge will be to bring them back again after that win. I think that's always a challenge because they've got to front up again. They've got to do all of that over again on the road. So if they stand up and they produce, even if they don't win, I don't expect them to beat Richmond. But if it's a solid, strong four-quarter performance, then I reckon they've passed the test again.
Yeah, Terry's point was that there'll be a bit of a letdown after such a big effort. Mm. And they left almost everything out there on Saturday. But the other thing is that they were playing for something on Saturday. They've stitched up, it looks like now, a top two spot.
Yes.
Is that right? They can't.
I haven't studied that hard enough.
Even if they lose against Richmond, they get a home final. So they're not playing for, momentum's a big thing and you don't want to flirt with form, but it's not objective what they miss out on. If they lose this weekend, they still get the home final.
I've got a bit more faith in them, I must say. I think they'll come down.
After the weekend?
No, I've had faith in them the whole time through. I think they'll come down and give a really good account of themselves against the testing material, which is Richmond. What do they do with Dylan Grimes? What's going on?
Have we got a denial problem about how good Dylan Grimes is going?
Not in this studio, we haven't.
Well, surely that'd be one of the first things that you address going into a Richmond game, that he is too damaging as the spare. You can't afford not to leave a match-up on Dylan Grimes.
Gary's been hot on this all week, the fact that that game, once they did the match-up, like the game when he was matched up was in their favour, when they reverted back to that late in the game, they got the scoring again.
Why are they doing it? Because we all know it. If we're talking about it here, it would definitely have come across the West Coast match committee.
Yeah, I know we're going to run out of time, but we spoke to Adam Simpson pre-game, as we've been able to do all year, and it was great. And they're fully aware and acknowledged it. And his comment to us was that Kennedy would play a little bit deeper, but as the game wore on, they got higher and higher.
Is it a credit to Richmond's contest work and midfield that?
Oh, for
not
sure.
Just midfield, their contest work, that you feel obliged to send an extra one in, and that's where the spares
possibly
come.
But it affects the game and affects the flow of the game so much that I'll be surprised. I'll be really interested what happens this week with Brisbane and see how Chris Fagan addresses it. With Carly Cameron as their deepest forward, they like to have him play deep and get over the back. It's very hard to do against the way they play Dylan Grimes. So it'll be an interesting game, Daze.
It will.
We'll be watching. We'll talk to you next week.
See you then.
Great to see you, Daisy Pierce, in the studio. Paul Ruse, not far away.